TalkZone.com!
Now, TalkZone presents Winning Wednesdays, featuring John Kelly and Ken Weitzner. This is the show that covers the latest sports gambling topics from a worldwide perspective and is dedicated to the hearts and minds of sports enthusiasts everywhere. Now, here are John Kelly and Ken Weitzner on TalkZone.com.
Greetings from Las Vegas, and welcome to another edition of Winning Wednesdays. I'm your host, John Kelly. I'm joined by my podcast partner. His name is Ken Weitzner. He is the founder of EOG.com. It's iongambling.com, one of the leading internet gambling sites in the country. Ken is reporting today, or reported early last week, or early this week, the biggest sports gambler in the world had a rough weekend. Ken Weitzner, good day to you.
Good day to you, John, and good day to all of our listeners out there, wherever they are listening from. Yes, I reported yesterday on EOG.com that one of my mentors, namely Billy Walters, had his second worst losing weekend in the history of his sports betting career. And specifically, it was the San Diego Charger game this past Sunday that did him in. He had wagered the money line. He had put them in teasers. He went ahead and parlayed them, and he finally bet them on the straight up laying the points. So he bet them every which way but loose, and he ended up losing.
The New York Jets defeated the San Diego Chargers last Sunday at Qualcomm. 17-14 was the final. It didn't look bad early for Billy Walters, Ken. The Chargers were out to a 7-0 lead, but then the Jets hit San Diego with 17 unanswered points.
You know, there's an old cliche that defenses win Super Bowls, and it was proven by the Giants, it's been proven by the Steelers, and it's been proven by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Jets played so awful in the first half on Sunday, I don't believe they had a first down until somewhere in the middle of the second quarter, but yet they were down by only 7 points at halftime, John. And as a sports gambler and a fan, one knows that if you keep a good defensive ball club in a game where you're dominating, as was happening on the field but not on the scoreboard, that you're in trouble. And that's what happened. The second half, the Jets started to gain momentum towards the end of the second quarter, and it carried through the rest of the game. And they deserve a lot of credit because, you know, there's an old saying, too, that if you ask 10 friends who they're betting on, if none of them say one team, go the other way. Well, just about everyone I know loved the San Diego Chargers. So not only did Billy Walters like them, the public loved them. And that usually is a recipe for disaster when the public loves a team.
Ken, where does a guy like Billy Walters get down millions on the San Diego Chargers? And when you say millions, and you mentioned plural in your story, more than 1 million, where does he get down on a game like that?
Well, now the M has become a big commodity in Vegas, and they're not afraid to take a sizable bet, namely a six-figure bet from Billy. So that's one out that I know he's able to get down six figures. And being that we're talking about the NFL playoffs, the bookmakers are a little bit more liberal in their limits. It's not uncommon for an online sports book to take six figures, and I've even heard of some sports books during the playoffs and the Super Bowl have taken as much as $1 million from a particular gambler, and this was not Billy Walters in years past. So it's not that hard, given that there's a lot of interest and a lot of action and a lot of volume that gets placed on these playoff games, John.
You have told us in shows past that you're a Billy Walters follower. Did Billy's rough weekend translate to you going up in flames?
Quite honestly, Saturday was not one of my better days. I think it was one of Mr. Walters' worst days as well. But I did go against him on the New York Jets. I didn't think he was on the right side. I went ahead and I played opposite. When the money line was plus 350, I grabbed some of the Jets' money line.
You're listening to Winning Wednesdays, John Kelly and Ken Weitzner. Joined today by college basketball expert Alan Boston. Alan is here to preview the Wednesday college basketball card. He's been on with us the previous two Wednesdays and has done a fabulous job in the role of the guest analyst. He talked more general gambling talk weeks one and two. Here we'll get more specific today with the college hoop games. Ken, you asked last week for some feedback on our program, Winning Wednesdays. Your posters at EOG and our listeners here on Winning Wednesdays came through with some ideas. Let me quickly read a few of the reviews. They were overwhelmingly positive. I would say the positive reviews outnumbered the negative reviews at least 10 to 1. A Big Daddy wrote, the Wednesday show is perfect. Just go weekly. Don't go daily. Don't ruin a good thing. Ball Wonder says he'd like to see the show expand it to 90 minutes. Bernardo in Costa Rica says he likes the guests. He also likes selections. Just a Man thought Andy Beyer was a great guest. Munson says thumbs up to the program. Other feedback included Chalk Picks, who loves Alan's contributions. Chalk Picks says he loves it when AB talks college basketball. Almost All Right says we should focus more on how to improve as handicappers and bettors. First and 10 said, I like it, keep it up. Then there were some suggestions from EOG posters, Ken, that listed future guests. They Wrigley wants to hear from Richard Ang, the turf editor of the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Mr. Moe says he wants more of a Vegas slant. Come with Kenny White, Jimmy Vaccaro, Johnny Avello, and Dave Tooley. Viejo Dinosaur checked in from Thailand, Ken, and Viejo Dinosaur says we have to recruit both Chuck Sharp and Roxy Roxborough. I don't know this Viejo Dinosaur, but it seems like he has Vegas roots. And he says that both Sharp and Roxborough are living in Thailand.
I like Viejo Dinosaur. He's a gambler that really knows the inside of the industry. And he has a common passion for backgammon, as I do. And he goes into Chris's office as often as he can and plays the Cigar Man backgammon, John. But I like some of the suggestions you've named. I think we should listen to go recruit some of the names you suggested.
College basketball analyst Alan Boston is here. Alan, good day to you. Welcome to the program, and thanks for being there for me again.
Oh, no problem. What else do I have to do on a Wednesday morning between 9 and 10?
Have you already made plays for today?
Yeah, I made a few. Like I said, I've kind of scaled back on everything, and keeping the bets down makes it very easy. One-stop shopping, and you're done.
Do you bet here in Vegas, Alan, or do you go offshore?
Vegas, exclusively.
Let's talk some college hoop action for today. I've got 46 games in front of me, and the Chris numbers, the current numbers at Chris, will be the ones we use for discussion. Top game on the card is a Big Ten game, Alan. Michigan State home to Iowa. Right now it's Chris. Michigan State is a 21-point favorite.
It opened 22.5 and went down to 21, and I guess there's some 21.5 around. And this time of year, conference teams typically aren't running teams out of the gym. That usually happens a little later in conference. And with Michigan State really being one of the teams playing for a higher seed, some of their more important, relevant Big Ten games you'd think would be what they'd have some super focus for. Izzo has struggled really with this team to be really focused at all times, and oftentimes as a big favorite, they've kind of failed, and this looks like a good spot for them to fail once again, having already murdered this team once at Iowa. They were 14-point favorite, won rather easily 71-53. If you tack on four for home, then you're entitled to at least 22 for Iowa, so value-wise, it's probably no bargain for Iowa, but I would think the back door would be wide open here with Minnesota and Michigan next on the schedule, and Izzo not one that really runs up scores very much. Iowa finally won a Big Ten game, beating Penn State last week. They're really talent-wise overwhelmed in most of these Big Ten games, and Licklider really has been very disappointing there, to be honest with you. And I think he's finding that you're not going to recruit Butler guys to Iowa, and he's a Butler-type coach, and it takes a special player to be a Butler-type player. And I don't think he's long for the job there. I think he's a terrific coach. I just don't think it's a good match for him. When he first got there, he thought that, wow, look what I could do with Butler players. Imagine if I get real athletes. Well, wrong. All that being said, if you put a gun to my head, I would think Iowa plus 21 would really have a very good chance of covering this game. I don't see Michigan State having much interest to running him out here.
From the Big Ten to the Big East, Connecticut home to St. John's. Connecticut is an 8.5-point favorite. News yesterday that Jim Calhoun is taking a medical leave of absence.
Okay. So they get George Blaney, who's been around a long time. Used to coach Holy Cross. And I mean, neither one of them are very good, so it's really no big deal there. But I'll tell you, Connecticut off three losses and playing at really one of the lesser teams in the Big East. I actually made this game 12, but I've been anti-St. John's quite a bit. But if Connecticut is 6.5 over Pittsburgh and Seton Hall and 7 over Notre Dame, then 8.5, which is around in a lot of places, is very, very low, especially team off three losses who actually may play harder tonight. Win one for the coach who they probably, well, maybe they don't. I don't know. Yeah, I'll skip over what I was thinking there. No matter, this is a game I bet. And I think you get a very good effort out of Connecticut tonight. And I think some teams tend to take St. John's lightly. They haven't been very good for years and really still aren't very good. They're deep. They're deeper this year. But they're really kind of shoddily coached, and their talent level is still a notch below the good Big East teams, especially one with Connecticut, who tends to get NBA players. Off three straight losses, they had better string together some wins if they hope to make the NCAA tournament. And you'll get a very focused favorite tonight, and there's nothing better than a focused favorite in sports betting. People talk about how the wise guys tend to bet underdogs, and I say that's bullshit. Because the best bets in sports betting are focused favorites, and here you have one tonight that's grossly mispriced, and Connecticut minus 8.5 or even 9 looks pretty good to me.
Stay in the Big East. Pittsburgh playing host to Georgetown. Pittsburgh, a 1.5-point favorite.
I think it's picking one now. Yeah, well, Pitt's been pretty amazing. From the team that was down about 20 to start the year against Wofford, they've ripped off, I think, 4 wins in a row now. 3 is a dog on the road, and then a nice comeback against Louisville the other day. And you wonder how they're doing it. You just have to look to the bench there. Jamie Dixon, one of the better coaches in the country, is doing an amazing job here. With a very young team that really figured to be down this year. He got a couple players back in the last few games, and they definitely have come together and strung together a whole bunch of good wins. But all those wins have been as dogs. They ended up a dog at home to Louisville, and it's a different subconscious mindset, dog to favorite. And I think Pitt may have. I think Pitt may struggle to win this game. Georgetown's clearly better. They're not as shoddily coached as some of those Big East teams, and I don't know. You know, they really gave it their all again up at Villanova the other day, but Pitt gives it their all every game, and will certainly give it their all again tonight. I made the game pick. I really don't have much of an opinion on it, but my gut seems to think that Georgetown really is just too good for this team. But Pitt's played other teams that are too good for them and beaten them. So, you know, I don't know if I'd want to fuck with Pittsburgh. They're a pretty tough crew. And, hats off to Jamie Dixon. He's really doing a special job up there. So if it went to 2, for sure, Georgetown. But at this price, it looks like a good one. Just maybe watch and enjoy.
Let's move forward to game 755-756. Cincinnati is playing host to South Florida. Cincy is a 9.5-point favorite over USF.
Well, you skipped way ahead because I speak too much, right? is that your mathematically you dived right to 755. Is that what kind of felt right? Did you do that on feel, or did I do some calculating here?
I was calculating.
You were calculating. Very good. I'm glad to see you got your math involved here. I made this game 10.5. I think at 8.5, certainly I would have been laying Cincinnati, which is what it opened. At 9.5, I have no interest at all. It just made the game 10.5. I don't see any emotional edges or convoluted, esoteric, stupid angles that I can come up with here. I haven't really delved into it much. Like I said, I'm not really trying to get inside each game anymore. I'm kind of like making numbers and winging it and not betting much and trying to relax and getting a little more involved with the poker and trying to transfer over to my a poker career. This game's a total pass. I would have laid 8.5 for sure as I made a 10.5, but strictly just off numbers. South Florida, again, is another team that is athletically way below these teams, but this is certainly in the price, being a 9.5-point dog at Cincy. And just if it went down, I'd lay it again. And other than that, I'd just leave it alone.
You mentioned poker. Two quick questions, Alan, about the game of poker. An EOG poster questioned your involvement on Poker After Dark on NBC. They wanted to know if that was fun to be involved in it. And also somebody else spotted you playing poker at Full Tilt Poker. Is that Alan Boston at Full Tilt Poker? You.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, how the fuck are they, how the fuck can they have anyone but me there? Goddamn. Try to imitate me. Good luck to you. I mean, even Frank Catalino couldn't do that. Isn't that his name?
Caliendo,
whatever his name is. Yeah, he's not. I don't. Anyway, I don't even think he could. I don't think he could get me right. Yeah, for sure, that's me. And it's actually right up my alley. I always kind of like teaching, and I've always thought that I was quick to react to wordage and can spit out something usually, hopefully clever, if not at least. That has some intelligence or substance to it. And I enjoy my time on Full Tilt for the most part, except when I get shit on. Then it's a little annoying because, you know, I'm on there trying to have fun and help people. And that definitely is me on there, albeit the avatar a little bizarre looking. But, you know, it's just a cartoon, and they're trying to have fun with it. As for Poker After Dark, it was fun when Shauna Hyatt interviewed me. Because she is just like smoking hot. She is ridiculous. I mean, TV doesn't do her justice. She is absolutely amazing to look at. And that was the best part of the show for sure. Because I had to sit next to Esfandari, who I can't stand for the whole show. And that was like the least enjoyable part of the show. So that juxtaposition, the opposites there are pretty extreme. Sitting next to Esfandari or staring at Shauna Hyatt. All that being said, I'm disappointed on the Poker After Dark thing. Number one, I was card dead and really had nothing to play. Number two, I was kind of new to Know 'Em and Hold 'Em, so I am not nearly as good then as I am now. Number three, they asked me this amazing question, which I'm going to spit out here because I never had really had a chance to get this out, and they cut it out, and it really pissed me off. So early on in the show, they call me away from the table. This is during the play of the hand. And Shauna Hyatt asked me, there's a camera there and she's there, and I asked if I could stare at her, and they said yes. I said, well, that's very good. You know, it's a good start to this question. And she asked me, how does a seven-card stud, which is my best game, slash sports better, become a no-limit hold'em player? And I say, good question, you know, and I think for a few seconds, and I like come up with this, like, and this is the short version. I like to think of myself either as an iconoclastic anachronism or as an anachronistic iconoclast, whichever you prefer. But No Limit Hold'em became so relevant that even I had to give in. So here I am. And, like, I mean, how can you answer it any better? That's, like, fucking brilliant. That's, like, that's a perfect thesis and a proof and a conclusion. And they cut it out. And they said, well, people won't understand it. I said, well, you have a guy who does a voiceover. Tell him to use the fucking dictionary. You know, I'm not sure that guy's even capable of it, but whatever his name is, Ali Najad. And but they cut that out, man. I mean, how can you do any better than that? Instead, they want Matisau's unrelenting cliche and Esfandari's drivel that says the same nonsense over and over and over again. And you know, the show's unwatchable, really. And here they are finally getting an answer that has some depth to it, that has some intelligence to it, and they say, like, fuck it. That doesn't play well in Peoria, you know? And so fuck them. That show is off my list of, not that they'd want me back anyway, but did I enjoy it? Not especially. That's the answer.
Back to the Wednesday college basketball card. Let's pick up with North Carolina Wake Forest.
I was trying to get venomous there. That was like more up my alley, you know?
Back
to being a little
good.
Cynical. I said my inner self's calmed down so much, but we were like reliving the past there a little bit, so that was kind of cool.
How about North Carolina's home game with Wake Forest? North Carolina currently a 6-point favorite.
Well, they are showing the the lack of ability of Roy Williams here, as they talk in the paper that this is like a team of role players, and I'm saying, are they out of their minds? Like, who's a role player in this team? Like, what team in the country wouldn't want like any player that this team has? Yes, they're a little banged up, and you can give a reason for that. Give that as part of the reason for this struggle, but just watch them play, and you'll know why they're struggling, because they don't have four NBA players in this team to overcome their lack of intelligence on a basketball court. I mean, here's a team that cannot hide how bad a coach Roy Williams is. And all that being said, they're playing Dino Guardio in Wake Forest, who may match him dumb for dumb. And North Carolina's talent certainly is better than anyone's in the country's, typically. I'm not saying this team is the most talented team in the country, although ultimately it could be, because he always does get the best players. But recently they've gotten blitzed by Clemson at Clemson, and then fell way, way behind to Georgia Tech the very next game at home. Davis was hurt in that game. Ginyard's been playing on a myriad of injuries. But they're off two straight losses, and they're playing a team that will not expose their dumbness. And a team that hung with Duke for almost the whole game there on Sunday. They got 23-4 there towards the end of the game, and prior to that, they played four wars in a row, Wake Forest. And I could see some like real motivated North Carolina team come out tonight, and Wake Forest is not going to get them in a half-court game to expose their lack of knowledge on the basketball court. And I could just see North Carolina running this team out of the gym, and I did lay 5.5 with North Carolina, and I think it's one of the better bets on the board. And that's
one
me
more,
talking, betting Roy Williams.
One more game.
I think
to cover
they're people. Really overreacting here. I mean, this team closed, 7.5 over Georgia Tech, and Georgia Tech is better than Wake Forest, for sure. And now they're 5.5 or 6 in this game. I mean, this is really a good bet.
One more game to cover before the break, Alan. Texas.
A break?
Texas.
I don't know you took breaks here.
No, we take two breaks, 20 and 40 past the hour. When we first had you on, though, Alan, we went through the first show commercial-free, but somebody's got to pay the bills, and so we're going to take a break right after you discuss the Texas Tech-Iowa State game. Tech is a 3.5-point favorite over Iowa State.
Well, maybe you can go to Obama and he'll bail you out, right? Oh, wait a minute. We're not a multi-billion-dollar corporation here, are we? Or he'll send the troops in to save us. Texas Tech, Iowa State. Yes, Iowa State, they just had another player quit the team. He went to play pro ball in his home country. I forget the kid's name. And I read it this morning, too. That shows you how my mind is really falling apart here. It leaves him with 7 scholarship players, and that, again, does not seem to matter as much in college basketball nowadays, but I don't know. I don't know if it's going to matter this game either. I made Texas Tech 3.5, and so if you want to add a half a point for another guy being out, you can make it 4, or maybe the other guys just play harder. I guess I'm just throwing out this food for thought that Iowa State is down to 7 scholarship players for this game. They're off a tough game at home with Texas, and then a tough win at Nebraska. And Texas Tech is certainly in need of wins to have any hope of making the NCAA tournament. I mean, you know, they're a long shot at best. They're not very good, and I don't have any kind of feel for this game either way. I mean, I think the line is completely priced right, and what more can you say? I mean, I made it 3.5. It is 3.5, and I have nothing clever to add to this game. Sorry.
We'll step aside and take the first time out of the program. When we return, more with Al in Boston on Winning Wednesdays.
Adam Meyer, the sports consultant of the stars, is box office money, and the heavy hitters know it. Hated for over 20 years by the sports books, and for good reason, because Adam Meyer wins. Over $10 million is waged weekly based on his advice. You, too, can reap the benefits of Adam Meyer helping turn outcomes into income. Go to AdamWins.com. That's AdamWins.com, and learn how he has made millions for his clients. Or call 800-355-5883. 800-355-5883. AdamWins.com.
Ready for true mobility? Bookmaker Mobile gives you a whole new way to wager. Anytime, anywhere. Simply browsing WAP.bookmaker.com from your cell phone or PDA, you can start accessing the betting world. Placing a wager has never been this easy. Review open wagers, check out your history, or even check out your balance, all from the palm of your hand. Now, when, where, and how you bet is entirely up to you. Bookmaker.com, where the line originates.
We're just a lot of talk. And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure, TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio. Let's return to Winning Wednesdays on TalkZone. Once again, here are John Kelly and Ken Weitzner.
And we're back, John and Ken, joined by college basketball expert Alan Boston. We're taking a look at some of the games on the Wednesday card in college basketball. Going over the six power conferences, there are 12 games from the six power conferences. And, Alan, I know you're not into the BCS system of college football, and, of course, BCS, that term kind of translates to college basketball, too. I call them the power conferences. How much action do you have on the big conferences? How much action do you have on the so-called mid-major conferences? Do you have a specialty? Where does your action lie?
My specialty is in betting as many games as I can all over the country in every conference, and it has been for years. So, no, I just bet what I like. I have no idea from what conference it comes from. Definitely there are years when you just get a good feel for, when conference time comes, you definitely get into the ebb and flow of certain conferences better than others, and you just nail them dead on. You know, like, every game makes sense to you, and when that happens, you just get a whole positive cycle going. If, you start off well in a conference, it means you probably have the right adjusted conference power ratings for these teams, and sometimes you can just run right through the conference and win almost every game just because you just have the right feel for every team. And other the years they don't. And, I don't know if I'm capable of doing that anymore. So that's why we scale it back and hope to make a few bucks and get on with our lives.
An EOG poster asked about your notebooks. You talked about your method of keeping track of the teams. What do those notebooks look like and what do you track?
The notebooks look beat to shit by the end of the year. But basically, I have someone print out a schedule with the team very thickly written on top, every single Division I team. On the left side, I write down a number of starters coming back, just as a reminder at the beginning of the year. Because there's so little practice time now between when the season starts, and I've talked about this before, so I don't have to go over it again, but obviously with little practice time, teams that have a lot of players coming back have a big edge to start the year, and sometimes those teams kind of fall off as the season progresses because they're just so far ahead of the game, having everyone coming back. A team like Portland U, which had a very good tournament run early in the year. I forget what tournament it was, but it was a few other teams that had like the whole team coming back that have kind of leveled off. I don't remember them off the top of my head. Sorry. But it would make sense that they have an advantage if there's very little practice time and you have one starter coming back and six lettermen coming back, or you have five starters coming back and 10 lettermen coming back. Well, they're much more familiar with the system and they don't need as much practice to be comfortable doing whatever the coach wants them to do on a basketball court. So early on, the teams with more players coming back certainly have an advantage. over those that don't. So that's on the left. On the right is what the power rating from last year closed at, what I closed it at. On the left column is the date, then who they're playing and if it's at home or away. Then I have a column of what I made the line, a column for what the line closed, the final score, and the adjusted power rating. That's right across, left to right. So it's date, schedule, my rating, my closing line, my line, the closing line, the final score, and the power rating. And you just go right down the sheet. So, looking at Rutgers, they opened with Marist November 14th at home. I made them 11.5, the line closed 16.5, and they won 74-67. So, either I had Marist rated too high or Rutgers rated too low, according to the rest of the world. The game played out closer to my number, so I didn't I didn't change much based off that game. Although I did note that in the Rutgers paper, they talked about how they had four key players added to the team, and they felt like it was going to be their home run year. So I made a note that it might be Rutgers' year, and of course they were wrong. Rutgers stinks, and they're no better this year than they were last year. And you know, I think that coach is kind of shaky. I think they definitely have trouble recruiting top tier players to that team. It's just not a high level program, and they ran Louis Orr out of there. Was that Louis Orr they had there? No, it was whatchamacallit, Gary Waters that they had there. I think that's what it was there. They ran someone out of there who was pretty good, and in the hopes of getting someone who could recruit better, and that's just not going to happen. The old snake pit type gyms, or the RAC, I think is where they play. It's a problem UNLV has, is the Thomas and Mack is an amazing arena to play in, but in the 80s, it was the king shit place to play. I mean, you bring a player and show him this arena, wow, you know, I'd love to play in that because there's so few of them, and now everyone's got them. It's no big deal to have some 10, 15,000 seat arena that's absolutely spectacular, and you know, like playing in the NBA almost. And I think that's what stops UNLV from getting all the grade A athletes that they once got out here. That's part of the reason that Richie Perry has been banished, but that's for another show. So I don't know where I went with this, but I just bet whatever I like pretty much. I don't specialize in anything, and you know, you just hope for the best, I guess.
About Rutgers, they have a home game tonight against Villanova. Villanova up to 14 over Rutgers. I know an EOG poster, Railbird, he likes the home underdog, but you said be careful with Rutgers.
Well, I mean, he's got the right idea. Well, Syracuse just closed 12.5 at Rutgers, and there's no doubt that Syracuse is a little better than Villanova. So you're getting really an inflated price. You're catching a team that, again, is going to be thinking more. I mean, the Big East is loaded this year like they are every year. And, you know, Rutgers is not a game that Villanova figures out a lot of pizzazz for. They just had a 17-point lead or whatever the hell it was to Georgetown and blew it. Georgetown got that game tied. Before that, they played Louisville and Marquette. So now being a 14-point favorite at Rutgers is definitely a spot where they could be very, very flat. And even if they're not, the line is super high. And I definitely agree with the poster on Rutgers plus 14 here. If there's ever a game that they have a chance to cover, and this certainly looks like their game. I, you know, you'll get the home run effort from them, and you really do figure to catch Villanova a little bit off their game tonight. So Rutgers plus 14 looks pretty good to me. I definitely will have something on that.
Let's go to the Big Ten game, 795-796. Wisconsin is hosting Michigan. Wisconsin is an 8.5-point favorite. This is Bo Ryan against John Beilein.
Yeah, two of the better minds in basketball for sure. Bo Ryan for sure. He's amazing, really. I mean, because Wisconsin is one of the tougher academic schools, and I don't think they bend much to allow players in there. And year after year after year, he just runs his stuff, and these kids run it to perfection. And he's not going to win any NCAA championships with the caliber of player he gets, but he certainly gets teams to overachieve and play to levels that surprise me every year. The guy obviously knows what he's doing, and really terrific coach. I there's something about him I didn't like from years ago. Maybe a late slam dunk against Izzo, I think it was, that was really unnecessary, and he didn't apologize or anything. It was just, you just don't do that, especially Izzo. He was a pretty classy guy, but Bo Ryan definitely a very, very good basketball mind, and John Beilein, obviously his success is cannot be argued with. West Virginia, I mean, turning that program around was incredible, and I think he'll need another year at Michigan before he turns this one around. But lately, they've been playing a little better. They, beating Connecticut is no big deal because that rat team could lose to anybody. Really, the telltale sign of that Michigan-UConn game probably was the year before. Michigan, in the midst of a horrible losing streak and getting run out of a million games, went up to UConn and almost beat them. And now they have them at home playing much more comfortably under Beilein's system and playing a much weaker UConn team. And they did get them. All that being said, this is still not really a great Michigan team. They still are struggling for some reason to get Beilein's system, which is very much a rhythm offense and a defense that's hard to implement. And for some reason, these players are having a hard time with it. And I think he's been here 3 years now, and I certainly would have expected this year to be the breakout year where he has more of his players doing more of his things. As soon, he gets rid of Amaker's players and gets his players in there, you'd think they'd explode to high levels, but they haven't done that just yet. And, running Indiana out, which they didn't do till late in the game, in a game that they were waiting for since Indiana had beaten them up at Michigan, and then beating Connecticut is really no big deal. So Michigan has not really evolved into the team I thought they would, and I made this game Wisconsin 9, which in my gut feels kind of high. It feels like it's going to be a low scoring game with two teams very familiar with each other, where scoring might be really tough to get. So my gut says if it went to 9, it'd probably feel right to bet Michigan plus 9, but the game's 8.5, I'll just be leaving it alone and hopefully watching it and enjoying it. It should be a very interesting game to watch because two really well-coached teams with grade B-plus athletes as opposed to the A athletes. It'll be a fun game to watch.
Four more games to cover with college basketball expert Alan Boston. North Carolina State is at home against Duke. Duke is an 11-point road favorite.
Yeah, I mean, NC State was down a million to Clemson, and then Stitt got hurt, and they made the big run to get back in the game. I don't see how they can hang with Duke, really, at all. This is not – Lowe has really had trouble at NC State finding a team that has good chemistry. He's lacked a point guard there for his whole stay. He tried to take over for Sendek, who – is about as good as it gets and never was appreciated up at NC State at all. And now they're finding out that, they'll find out how good they had it with Sendek because he is absolutely terrific. So Lowe was put in a tough spot. I think he kind of knows what he's doing, but trying to replace Sendek is not a good goal to have to achieve. And, he is certainly struggling there, and they are really kind of outmanned in this game. And I definitely would be looking at the Duke minus 11 side. And I mean, I didn't bet it yet, but I certainly am probably only being held back because that means I'd be betting on Coach K, and then I'd have trouble sleeping at night if I lost the bet. But it's certainly Duke or nobody here. I mean, Clemson had this team buried, and I don't think. That if Duke gets them down, that they'll be able to come back against Duke. Duke's a lot deeper this year, and this is actually his best team he's had in years. In fact, this is the best tournament-type team he's had in years. He can play a half-court game a little better, and he's got some inside game this year. And K might not be able to screw this one up. He definitely has a Final Four caliber team, and we'll wait and see if he can fuck it up one more time. Certainly possible. But
Kansas at home.
What?
Kansas is at home, minus 14.5 over Baylor.
I made it 14.5. I'm not betting it. I don't know what I can add to this. Baylor has surprised teams this year. They lost a lot of talent last year, but Drew has recruited so well there year after year after year that this is definitely a team that could go from the like bubble-ish type NCAA team every year to one that's a threat if he can just get a couple of A athletes there instead of the B plus athletes, and I think he's going to do it. I think Baylor is going to be certainly not a Kansas because you can't get there that quick, but with what he's done for a program that was completely out of it after that disgusting human Bliss was let go and they had all those sanctions against him, what he's done is pretty remarkable, really, to put together this quality of team this quickly. He lost a lot of players from last year, but they played a game earlier in the year, and this actually allowed me to win a bet on them or two. And I wish I could remember who they played. I think it was Texas Arlington who they played. And the coach for Texas Arlington said this team, they play every year, said this team's better than last year's team. And damn, I had them rated like 4 points lower than last year's team. So I quickly went and looked and saw that, like, wow, this team really hasn't done anything wrong this year. And so I upgraded them. And the next game was against Arkansas. And I was laying it with alacrity. I was laying 3.5. And they won 70-43. So, you know, I could thank the coach for Texas Arlington. I think his name is McCarter, I think his name is. I forget. I don't remember him as much as I used to do. But those are the kind of things you could pick up in the newspaper sometimes that can lead to a winning bet. I never would have come up with Baylor against Arkansas in that particular situation, except for this coach saying that after his team lost 94-63 to Baylor that, you know, this team's the real deal. And, you know, they had lost so much talent that I didn't think it was possible. And now Tweedy Carter, since he got healthy and back in the lineup, they've gotten even better. But that's why they're only getting 14.5 from Kansas. And I see no edge in either side of this game.
Another double-digit favorite in the Big 12, Oklahoma State is playing host to Colorado. Oklahoma State is 10.
Kind of an interesting clashing of styles, really. I made this game 10, too, so, again, I won't be involved with the wagering here. And I don't know what I can give you for analysis. Colorado is definitely improved, but Zelik is upgrading the talent there, and if he can get it just a smidgen higher, he's so terrific that he could really maybe get this program on the rise real quickly. They've shown flashes of being able to get good players there. When Ricardo Patton was there, he occasionally landed a gem. And this the Bozelic's third year there, and you saw how well his Air Force teams played, and his team's no different. They play very, very well as a dog, and they're a dog tonight, but they are catching an Oak State team that really should be, that's kind of bubblish themselves, that definitely needs wins. It's off a couple bad losses to Oklahoma and Baylor, so they'll definitely have their A game ready tonight. I actually made this game 11. I apologize, not 10, so still not enough for me to bet. I don't play a point off my number. I'm not that smart. And but if it went down, I guess I'd be leaning to Oak State a little bit. You're definitely going to get their A effort, and these teams are very, very familiar with each other, and the Oak State coach is no dope, and he should be ready for some of Bozelic's really well-run sets that they put in there. And I guess I'd lean that way, if anything. I would definitely lay 9, but I don't think you'll see it. I don't have any bit of brilliance to comment on that game. I mean, you know, at this time of year, it's like the dog days of late January, early February, where, you know, everyone kind of knows what the right prices are, and occasionally you catch an overreaction when a team plays 3 or 4 good games in a row, but there's still, you know, like a team like Drake tonight, who's put together 4 home run efforts in a row, and now they're at Evansville, who hasn't won a game yet in the conference this year, and, you know, you just know that Drake could just go back to being Drake And Evansville will be super, super hungry because they haven't won a game yet this year in conference. And, you know, so maybe you'd look for a side like Evansville there, although I didn't bet them. I couldn't do it. But that's the kind of stuff more you're looking for nowadays. These games are very, really mispriced. The game that was most mispriced was the William & Mary Virginia Commonwealth game, which they somehow opened 5.5, which I made 9, where in the first game, Virginia Commonwealth actually had a 15-point lead up at William & Mary before they lost it. And, damn, I mean, you know, William & Mary has done it with mirrors. They're extremely well coached and just brilliantly coached by Shaver and just, you know, a very, very tough academic school. Has never, ever, ever gotten good players. They've always kind of had the same kind of program. They're really, I'm going to go a little bit on William & Mary here because they're really kind of what exemplifies what's good about basketball. A good academic school where kids come and play and learn what coach wants them to learn. And they learn beautiful stuff for the most part. When Charlie Woolen was there, they always ran beautiful half-court sets. And now this very rhythmic type offense that Shaver has implemented is obviously doing good things as they've had a million quality wins this year. But they really are outmanned in this game. And Virginia Commonwealth is much healthier and been a much better program for years. And really should run roughshod over this team. I mean, they were 15 ahead up at William & Mary. If they get 15 ahead at home, you know, I think it'll go to 25. And I did lay 6 last night, I think, for something. And I do expect to win that game. But it's been priced up to the moon now. But that's the kind of thing occasionally you find. You occasionally find an overreaction to a team's good play, and you just bet against it.
I just have to interrupt and say that's one of my selections tonight, Alan. You already revealed a game that I was focusing on. I believe the Rams have been calling this week payback week in their practice sessions. I live here in Virginia, and I do think that they're the better team, and William & Mary has been a bunch of smoke and mirrors. I wouldn't be surprised if this game is in the mid-double figures, 15 or 20.
Well, I mean, just because it's payback, it doesn't mean William & Mary is not going to show up to play. So I don't.
That's not what I said.
You said they're calling it payback.
I just said
that
VCU is really focused on this game, and
right,
they're the better
team. William & Mary will be too. I mean, they, you know, they're a bubble-ish NCAA team, and they're battling for first place in the conference. So they'll have their A game tonight too. It's just a matter of you know, I don't think it's good enough.
Well, VCU
if the team
dominates
down
them.
William & Mary, then at home they certainly should have no problem.
I agree. I have a question I'd like to ask you because you're a pretty big known commodity in this industry, and during the last few shows, I don't know if you realize this, but when you have a name, you get people that trash you all the time, and I had to start a thread on EOG, you know, basically saying come and ask whatever you want, I'll tell you, because people were calling me every name in the book. You know, and four-letter words that are not even in your vocabulary, Alan. That's how bad it got. They were talking about
really,
my personal life. They were talking about my sex life. They were talking about my wife. It got to be really ugly. But on one of the shows that we did...
Well, how can you take anyone that talks about that nonsense seriously? I mean...
I don't.
Good.
But I want to ask you something.
Just delete it and get on with the sports betting part of it. Who cares about your sex life or your wife, or your marriage, it's who do you like in this game tonight. That's all that matters.
What also matters is credibility. And a couple of people emailed me regarding your credibility, so I just wanted to, you know, set the record straight. There's been some people that claim you owe money, due to some gambling losses out there in Vegas. Is this a lie or is this truthful?
Excuse me, that I owe money due to some gambling losses out here in Vegas?
Yep.
I owe money, but it's not due to gambling losses. It's due to maybe living above my means and getting into a home that maybe I shouldn't have gotten into. But there's no doubt I've struggled as a sports bettor the last few years, but I have not lost money gambling the last few years. And yeah, I tell people I'm broke, and that happens to be the truth. I am broke, but broke cash wise doesn't mean broke overall, since my house is rather nice and I drive a nice car and I do have a retirement fund. And you know, I don't know why you're bringing this nonsense up, since it's none of anyone's fucking business, but anyone that's been to my home or gone out to dinner with me that I've usually picked up the tab for the last 25 years knows that I must have done something right while in this city. I haven't worked for anyone except for Mr. Walters briefly as a consultant, and that was many, many, many years ago. And when I did have a few bucks to my name, I even told him, you know, I don't want to take your free roll anymore. I don't feel comfortable doing it. Now, someone who gives up a free roll that made him about $100,000 a year probably is not ready to go into see a bankruptcy lawyer. And I haven't gone to see my bankruptcy lawyer just yet. I'm not doing great, no doubt about it. But you know what? Who gives a fuck? I still know what I'm doing. I still make winning bets overall, and that's all that matters. And if you want to listen to rumor and nonsense, like your sex life or your wife, then go for it. But, you know, the people that truly know me would not talk about such nonsense, not at all. They talk about actually the good in me for the most part. You know, he's a very giving, caring person. That's actually what I am. Despite my rough exterior that I sometimes come across on a radio, I'm about as good as it gets as a giving human. My ability in sports betting has not wavered. The game has gotten a lot tougher. And when I started betting higher, I had to, you know, wait till the market was banged out a little bit to make my bet. So that's going to lower my percentage of winners. I'm not getting away from it because I don't feel I can still win. I'm getting away from it because I'm getting too old to spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on something that I don't enjoy anymore. If you don't enjoy it, go find something else to do. And learning No Limit Hold'em seems to be an attractive alternative, although I do think that game is a dead game too. I think that'll be useless in a few years too. And then I'll probably sell this house and go to Maine and go teach school, which is what I've always wanted to do. So if you want to start talking rumor on this show, I don't think it adds anything to the show at all. And I'm disappointed that you even asked. The answer is no, I don't owe people money due to gambling. The answer is yes, I do owe money because I've gotten in over my head with building this house and living over my head. But I've won gambling. I just haven't won enough to live like I have 80 assholes full of money. So take the rumor and tell them to stick it up their ass, all right?
Thank you, Alan.
You're welcome.
Alan, thanks for the time, and we'll chat with you down the road.
Yeah, see you later.
Alan Boston on the program. We'll step aside and take the final time out of the program. When we return, Ken Weitzner to go on record with his weekly selections.
Old school meets new school. You want a bookmaker you can trust, one that's established, secure, and offers more per play. You want bookmaker.com. At bookmaker.com, you can win big and play safe 24/7, 365. From international sports to all styles of racing to casino games and poker tournaments, play with confidence at bookmaker.com. Sign up today and get a 20% bonus and earn free plays with our exclusive loyalty program. Bookmaker.com, where the line originates.
There's no question who the biggest start is when it comes to sports handicapping. It's Adam Meyer from AdamWins.com, the sports consultant to the stars. Go inside the numbers each week with AdamWins.com. Adam will supply you with all the information you need to make money this weekend. Call Adam at 800-355-5883 or go to AdamWins.com. That's 800-355-5883 or go to AdamWins.com.
The best in Internet talk radio.
A mind-bendingly ingenious plan to control the universe.
We're building the best Internet talk radio on the planet. TalkZone.com. Let's return to Winning Wednesdays on TalkZone. Once again, here are John Kelly and Ken Weitzner.
And we are back. Let's go on record with selections for tonight. Ken has three plays. I've got one. Go to the Big Ten, game 795-796. Wisconsin is an 8.5-point favorite over Michigan. I like the underdog here. I was listening to Alan Boston give his analysis of the game. He said, in my gut, Wisconsin laying 9 might be high, and I agree. Actually, I'll take the 8.5. The nines are gone right now, but 8.5 will still be good enough, I believe, because Michigan has the best player on the court in Manny Harris. Also, I like Deshaun Sims down low. I like that 1-2 punch of Harris and Sims. Michigan, an important game here, 10-7 overall, 3-2 in conference play. They can beat a Wisconsin team that is without its second leading scorer. John Luehr has a fractured left wrist. He was their low post presence. Now Wisconsin is forced to shoot from the outside. I'm going to take Michigan plus 8.5 over Wisconsin. That's my top play for Winning Wednesdays. Ken Weitzner, you have three college basketball selections.
I sure do. Let's go to the CAA with all three selections. I like ODU tonight, 735, minus 13.5 versus Delaware. In case people haven't noticed, there's a lot of disparity between the upper echelon teams in the CAA and the lower echelon teams, ODU being in the upper echelon, Delaware being in the lower echelon. I'd be very surprised if this game was close. UNC is not playing well right now, and ODU won earlier in the year at a game I attended, 65-44. They can name the score. This will be a blowout. My second choice is also a game that I hinted at during the segment with Alan Boston. I like VCU minus 7.5 versus William & Mary. These two teams play much different styles of basketball. Hats off to the season William & Mary is having. VCU, however, owns this team historically, and I see a real payback coming tonight because they lost a heartbreaker that they should have won earlier in the year at William & Mary. So I would lay the wood. 7.5 is a small number when they end up winning by double digits. And finally, another disparity game. You've got 7:59 Northeastern, who's 6-1. They won 9 in a row. They're laying 9.5 to a team that's, you know, arguably the worst in the CAA, namely Towson. Towson has lost 8 out of the last 9. They're in last place. I smell blowout here. So you got 3 teams, I believe, that are really good in the CAA playing 3 teams that are really, really bad. And before we close, John, a lot of the people that listen to our show are giving me a little bit of a hard time for asking Alan the question I did. And I just believe in full disclosure. And had it not been for the fact that I received several phone calls as well as emails from others that listened to the show that asked me to, you know, confront him with this question because it lends itself to credibility, I did it in order to be fair. I don't want to just serve up softballs to our guests. And if he doesn't come back to the show because of that question, so be it.
Yeah, that was a tough question and it kind of a tricky situation as well. Alan said he was disappointed in you, Ken, that you asked the question. What if somebody asked you the question, Ken? Do you owe any people any money?
You know, no, I don't. But there have been times in my gambling career where I've had to borrow. I've been a degenerate, willing to answer anything thrown at me. And I was hoping that Alan would be a little bit more professional and just answer yes or no and realize that I was just the messenger. This was not my question. But anyway, I think that we've gone past the allotted time for our show. I just wanted to let our listeners know that it was not me, you know, that had dreamt up this question. It was people that listened to our show that wanted to know whether or not Alan Boston lost money gambling.
For Ken Weitzner, for Alan Boston, I'm John Kelly. Thanks for listening to Winning Wednesdays.